get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head.
You're listening to Because I Said So. So right after you have that newborn baby, it's just joy and bliss and loveliness. Not for all moms. There's definitely many moms out there who suffer from postpartum depression, and that's what we're talking about today on today's show. Hey, everyone. You're listening to Because I Said So, and we're talking about a topic that, you know, not many people may even admit that they experienced, postpartum depression. I don't understand, now that I look back, why you don't want to admit it and get help, because if you have it, you really, really need help. I experienced it after the birth of Stephen, my first. I thought I was so ready to have children. And then I had Stephen, and I was like, what? And I think when it hit me most was when I was changing his diaper, and I was standing over him, and my husband was behind me, and I said, I can't do this. And he's like, oh, go lay down.
How long after birth was that?
He was a newborn.
So like a week or two
weeks?
Yeah,
he was probably a week old.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, go lay down. I'll do it. I said, no, I can't do this.
And like you wanted to give him back?
Like I don't know what I signed up for, and I can't handle this right now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I could give him what he needed. I felt like I was trying, but I didn't feel like anything was ever good enough, and that he, like, go lay down. I would lay in bed and hear a little squeak from him, and my body would just jolt and get stiff, and you can't take a nap. I couldn't take a nap. My baby's crying in the other room. Like, I didn't understand that he was okay. I felt like he needed me there every second of every minute of every day.
I think for all of the books that we read leading up to, you know, the birth of your first child, nothing prepares you for the overwhelming amount of work that it is, and your emotional range that you go through, and your hormone levels are through the roof, and it is overwhelming. And I think it's okay if we all just admit that. And I think new mothers would be so much better off if we could just admit that.
But
that
everyone's
it's not
so
all
joyful. It's such a joyful experience.
Please.
Oh my gosh, this is just so wonderful. And I, in my little head, was going, no. This is not wonderful.
Okay, so how long, did you make the connection right away, or did you just feel bad for a long time and then the light bulb went off?
I chalked it up to, okay, this is a shock because you are sleep deprived and you just kind of have to, you know, trudge through it. And then as he got a little bit older, I would have to say that, you know, looking back, I probably had postpartum for the first year of Stephen's life. And that's hard. That's hard to come to reality with because, you know, as they do sleep through the night. Okay, so things should get better. You're getting more rest. Nah, because the second I would wake up, it's a level of anxiety that you feel that you can't manage.
Right.
And no matter what you do, everything's it takes a taxing effort. Like, that's the depression part, too. Like, this should be fun. It's so not fun. Or, you know, oh, this cute little outfit that someone brought you and bought to you. In my head, I'm thinking, one more thing to wash. Everything was just so taxing. And that's where I realized this is depression.
Well, and that's interesting because my experience with my first was, Ben, bless his heart, didn't sleep. And there were three babies born in the neighborhood all within 3 weeks of each other. And, you know, by 4 or 5 months when their babies were sleeping and Ben was still doing, I swear to God, this was his schedule, 45 minutes of sleep, 2 hours awake, 45 minutes of sleep, 2 hours awake, around the clock. It was unbearable.
For how long did that last?
Until he was 8 months old.
Oh, I would be suicidal.
It was.
Jackie.
I was. But that's the difference, is that I was exhausted, but I never felt like I can't do this.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
I can see the differentiation. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
here.
First of all, let's just say that we are not experts. We're just moms. So,
yes.
You know, if you are looking for expert opinions, please call your doctor about this issue. But I do want to point out in the little bit of research that we've done that there is a difference between what is commonly referred to as the baby blues, where more than 80% of women report having signs of the baby blues, which would include trouble sleeping, you feel moody, teary, and feeling overwhelmed. And, you know, you still, you'll have these feelings along with being happy about your baby, but the baby blues usually go away within a couple of weeks, okay? So differentiate that with postpartum depression, which can last for much longer, months and months. And then in rare cases, and we've certainly heard about some of these in the news over the last few decades, is something called postpartum psychoses, where they actually hear things and see things, and they are very much a danger to themselves and to their child, and sometimes do really tragic things. So, you know, in those cases, it is absolutely imperative that they get help. And I would hope that in mothers who are struggling with postpartum depression, that they also seek help, because help is out there. And
it is.
Whether it's antidepressants, you know, therapy, just finding out that you're not alone and that these feelings are normal for a lot of women, I think, is reassuring.
And you don't need to feel ashamed, because you can't control them. It's not like you're purposely wanting to not participate in this newborn baby's life, you know. I talked to other moms, and it was such a feeling of relief. This one mom, not that she did it, but she had said, yeah, I was, I had the baby in the car seat, and I was ready to put the car seat with the baby in it in a field and drive away.
Mm-hmm.
No, she wasn't exaggerating.
Right.
And I said, well, I never really wanted to do that. So, okay, maybe it's not so bad. But she was being perfectly honest.
Wow.
that's what she was feeling like she was going to have to do.
And did she get counseling or get help?
She did, and then her mom stepped in and helped substantially.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, yeah, if you have a network of people who make you feel like you're not alone, like we didn't have family anywhere close or anything like that. They came and stayed for like 2 weeks, and then I remember Stephen's mom driving away and me hysterically breaking down, like I couldn't do it without her. I obviously handled it just fine, but I don't. And then, you know, if your spouse is like, I don't understand what's going on here. Like, not a clue.
And he was very involved, hands-on, changing diapers, all of that stuff?
You know, when he wanted to. It wasn't like he wouldn't do it, but it was like every time he would have Stephen, they would fall asleep on the recliner together, you know, the baby on his chest. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
So instead of like, being happy and at peace with that picture, you were
no.
like, what is up with that?
I was so annoyed. I'm
That's
like,
so funny.
Why can't that be me right now?
Yeah. I remember in the first, I stayed home with my son for the first, gosh, I guess 8 or 10 weeks, whatever it was. But during that time period, and I have to say that my son was a very good baby. And you have a greater chance of getting postpartum depression if you have a sick or colicky baby, which I totally get, because you would be driven insane.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so my son was really a very good baby. But I so clearly remember that my husband would come home from work, and I would literally take
yep.
the baby and shove it in his arms and say, gotta go.
Your turn.
I just, you know, like you're counting the minutes of when he's going to walk through that door
done.
Because I was done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the motherly feeling. That's not the, you know, the commercial you see on television about how the mother feels about the baby. So I think if we talk about it, the more we talk about it,
the better
it is.
But I think it is the motherly feeling. Let's
right.
be real. It doesn't sell
But it's not
baby
the Hallmark
products.
Commercial.
Right,
it's,
exactly. Yeah. But it's the motherly feeling. I
it's
mean,
real.
24/7.
Real.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't understand how, you know, women have 27 children. Like, I, you know, what on
well,
earth?
Lord have mercy.
But I think, too, that it, you know, with your firstborn, you don't have a clue. So you're very hesitant to go. Like, when Ben wasn't sleeping, I just figured, well, that's normal. Babies don't sleep the first year.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think you know. By the second or third,
yeah.
I think you're a little more comfortable
well,
going.
That's absolutely
hey.
True. And so did you suffer the same with your second child?
Well, I'm going to answer that. Because we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back and talk about us. I want to go back to the people who have 27 children. I think that's crazy. We'll be right back.
Our spring membership drive starts next month on April 11th and runs through the 19th. Your voice was heard, and now we're counting on you to help make this drive a huge success. Please consider making a gift of support right now. You can donate by calling 410-543-6895 or online at delmarvapublicradio.net. Thank you.
You're listening to Because I Said So, and we're continuing our conversation about postpartum depression. And you had just asked me before we went to break, did I experience it with my second son like I did with my first? I was really nervous. I was so worried. I'm like, oh God, I can't go through that again. I didn't actually. It wasn't the same. And then there's that feeling of guilt. So I didn't have the same
right,
bonding experience.
Because Steven is going to someday go, well, so wait, you didn't like me when I was a baby, but you liked my brother?
Or vice versa. You worried so much about me, but you didn't worry.
Yeah, exactly. I felt guilty
win.
Then.
You can't win that game.
I was like, but I was happy.
But my question is, at what point did you go, okay, I need some help? And then what did you do?
He was probably 5 months old, 5-6 months
old. That's a long time.
Yeah. And I immediately went into therapy and started taking anti-anxiety medication.
And it helped immediately?
The pills take a little while to kick in.
Right.
It did because I could talk about it and it helped. You know, the funny thing was, why not talk to my friends about it? I was the first of my best friends to have a child. So they weren't really there yet.
So they had no experience, yeah.
No, they weren't there yet.
They wouldn't understand,
Some of my local friends, these were my college friends, some of my local friends had kids, but it wasn't really maybe the level of friendship. I felt like I couldn't confide in them. I preferred to confide in a therapist. And then now that, you know, 2 kids later and all my friends are moms, I could do that now.
Mm-hmm, right.
But I think I needed a professional because it was that bad.
And a lot of it, too, maybe you just needed verified. I mean, once mm-hmm. a therapist said, yeah, absolutely, I think that's, you know,
it's a huge weight lifted off of your shoulders, yes.
So let me just read these bullet points. You have a greater chance of getting postpartum depression if, number one, you've had depression or postpartum depression before, which is mm-hmm. interesting. You have a poor support from your partner, friends, or family. Mm-hmm. You have a sick or colicky baby, and you have a lot of other stress in your life. So those are sort of indicators, I guess, that you might suffer from something like that.
Well, that's, you know, they say in 6 things to avoid if you have postpartum, you know, an overscheduled life. Hello. How can you avoid that? If it's kid 2 or 3, that's just life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what you can do to simplify your life. And, you know, going back to the parents who have 15, 16, 18 kids, I don't get it. I just don't. I guess they love
it's every
moment
of it. It's
almost
like an addiction. You know, I don't know what they're addicted to, but...
Well, how can you really give any child after the first or second the same level of attention?
Well, hey, I'm the fourth.
I'm the fourth, too, so I guess we're happy.
Is that like the middle child syndrome? Is that where we're going? You know, I don't know. I think I'd be totally outsourced to the max.
But on the other hand, by the time, you know, you're on your fifth or sixth child, then your older one is able to help. So you're actually breeding, you know, for the purposes of, you know, of labor. You've got free labor right there. So,
well, I mean, not necessarily. And I think, too, that, you know, things have changed in the last 40, 50, you know, years, generations, where you had 10 kids, but they weren't going to soccer 5 days a week.
No.
And,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
no, they were playing.
Just,
they have
right,
a,
they were playing
you
outside.
Have your own team.
Right.
You have 15 kids.
It was just a different, you know, it was a whole different parenting.
They were doing
lifestyle.
The laundry.
Right. Exactly.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You talk about that, you know. I talk about the – okay, so Steven's 9 and Nicholas is 6, and Steven plays a lot more soccer than Nicholas does right now. Is it fair to Nick to have to sit through all those games? No, I don't think so. I don't, and I don't agree with it.
I think that's a different show.
And probably. I know. It's just – you're right, though. It's
but
different
yes.
now.
Yeah, I mean, as the oldest, it was indeed all about me. So
well, Kathy,
I get that.
You brought up the thing about having a support group, and I was wondering if there's ever been – not that you know, but I was wondering if there'd ever been any kind of study about, you know, the severity and longevity of, like, postpartum depression and the involvement of the father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you've got somebody who can wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning so you can sleep or whatever.
Well, I think it's probably more complicated than that. But I'm curious, though, Jenny, did you – first of all, did you breastfeed?
Yes.
And how long did you breastfeed Stephen?
3 months.
Okay.
Because then I went back to work.
Because that's one of the things they say about breastfeeding, too, is it can be challenging for women. And most often women give up before they really give it a, you know, the honest try. And one of the reasons is because they don't have that support network to encourage them. And I found breastfeeding a little bit like climbing Mount Everest. It was very difficult. Mm-hmm. But I was so determined to do it. And my husband was so keen on not being that guy who didn't support me, you know, but there were touch and go moments with that where I thought I was going to lose it over the breastfeeding thing. And I think that, you know, once you realize that it's okay to supplement and those kinds of mm-hmm. things, I mean, I think one of the common threads here is that, you know, we beat ourselves up so much that, oh my gosh, we're doing something wrong. You know, I'm going to destroy my child if I don't, you know, do this at this particular moment. And I think that if we just, and I think by the time you have the second and third child, they practically raise themselves because you're so much more laid back about it, at least I was.
Yeah, I was more laid back too. And it's like, this is, like I told the story before, you know, the dog runs out, Stephen poops on the step, Nicholas is crying. I'm like, this is my life now. So, yeah, I think that you get a little more laid back as
you look through a different lens.
You do.
For sure. But this all started because of what's her name?
Oh, so Vanessa Minnillo, who married Nick Lachey, she had written a blog, I guess, following the birth of her first child that the media widely reported that she was suffering from postpartum depression, which, you know, anytime any celebrity says anything like that, it does become front page news, which is good because I think it encourages all to talk about it. But the interesting thing about Vanessa is she quickly, a week later, wrote a follow-up blog piece to say, no, it was just baby blues. So, you know, there is a stigma associated with this, mm-hmm. and I don't know if she was sensing that or feeling that, or whether she really did want to differentiate for women everywhere that, you know, we all go through. Up to 80% of new moms do suffer from some form of the baby blues.
Was that the fault of the media? Because the second you hear postpartum depression, you think, oh, there's that lady who drowned her kids.
Well, and to be clear, that's postpartum psychosis.
Yeah. No, but, you know, right. You go there.
And then you also...
Of course.
Well, yeah, you get thicker skin, too, as you get a little bit older, because I think now, you know, who's sitting there pointing their finger at me judging what kind of mother I am because I had postpartum? Like, oh, well, judge mm-hmm. all you want. Mm-hmm. You know, life goes on, and you don't know me, I don't know you. So I think it's worrying too much about what other people think of you. If that's what you're going through, then, yeah, go get help. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed to admit that, because mm-hmm. that's only going to make it worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her comment here, I think, is very right on. She said, I think it's just fear, the fear of not knowing what I'm doing, she wrote of her experience, the fear of messing up this little boy, the fear of being responsible for a human being and not knowing any life experiences to compare moments with him to. No matter how many books you read, nothing prepares you better than the real thing. I felt lost, unloved, alone, and at my wit's end. Mm-hmm. I can totally relate to that.
Absolutely.
And I think every mother, if they're in their truly honest moments,
yes.
can relate to that.
I wonder if there's a little bit of, like, you create anxiety, like, for the person who reads, like, every single what to expect
you're
expecting book, and you make yourself so
Oh, absolutely. I think we drive
it.
Ourselves crazy.
Yeah, and if you didn't know anything, you'd just be like, okay.
Yeah, well, this is my point. I've said this before. You know, there are women in Africa right now giving birth in a field, and that baby's going to be just fine, and she didn't go through,
read any books.
She didn't read any books about it. She didn't change her diet. She didn't freak out about, you know, this, that, and the other, and I think we bring on stress unnecessarily so, which is not to say you shouldn't read some books and you shouldn't go to your, you know, prenatal, you know, do all that stuff, but don't drive yourself crazy over it because that's not healthy either.
My sister did that, and I when I was on the phone with her, I was like, let me tell you that you can read all you want, but
until that baby,
you
know,
I thought you were going to say your sister dropped a baby in a field.
Okay. No, no, but you know, she's been around me and my boys, and that's when she was pregnant at the time. She's like, I think I'm just going to have one because of the stress that I was going through with them at the moment. You know, like they were fighting or something. I was like,
Yeah, but I also. You know, I'm a pretty even-keeled person, but I clearly remember experiencing sitting at the dinner table about a week or so after my son was born and just bursting out in tears for absolutely no reason. I mean, uncontrollable emotion. Yeah. And the hormones in your body do crazy things to you.
They do.
And I just think that we all need to be aware, husbands, friends, spouses, everybody, that this is a crazy time in your life. And, you know, give them... all the leeway you can.
Support.
And support, absolutely.
Well, and realize, too, that it's like, you know, it's like a toothache. You wouldn't just ignore it for months at a time. You would go and get it fixed.
Yeah. That's
there's something physical going on.
That makes sense. All right, we're going to come back with our with another segment. We have some resources too on where you can seek some help as far as support groups, and of course our mother of the moment month stories. We'll be right back.
Each week on Celtic Connections, we bring you the finest of traditional and contemporary Celtic music. From Ireland, Scotland, England, Wales, and North America. Tunes you can tap your toes to, and songs that will transport you to misty mountains and moors. This is Brian Kelso Crowe inviting you to join me for Celtic Connections.
Sunday night at 9 on WSDL 90.7 FM.
You're rejoining Because I Said So. And we are talking about postpartum depression today. I wanted to just throw out there, too. I'm sure that, you know, if you're local here in the area, you can call your local hospital, PRMC, BB Medical, Atlantic General, and they will have some local resources for you. But there are support groups out there. I know in Maryland, I just looked up on a postpartum depression support group website, some in Annapolis, Anne Arundel County, Baltimore at Sinai Hospital, Greater Baltimore Medical Center, Delaware. There's numbers that you can call for resources. There's some in the Perinatal Mood Disorder Support Group in Dover, and you can call and get more help and more resources if you need to.
Links on our website becauseisaidsoradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out there, and I'm sure if you call the Life Crisis Center here locally, they will hook you up with some local
Definitely.
Resources too.
Now, Chris,
yeah,
you had a...
Yeah, I'll just share a quick story. When Jenny was pregnant, we read a book and saw a DVD called The Happiest Baby on the Block. It's by a pediatrician by the name of Harvey Karp, K-A-R-P. And, you know, read it. May work for you, may not work for you. But basically what it's about is ways to calm a baby when it's, you know, the middle of the night and that baby just will not be quiet. And the long and short of it is there's these five S's, and they're like swaddling and shushing and
swaying.
Shushing,
I've heard the shushing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got really, really good at it. And for us, it worked. It worked
That's
really
cool.
well. I can't say that it will work for everybody, but it was a great thing because, you know, Walker would be up in the middle of the night. We would just do this. He would fall right back asleep, and boom, everything was fine.
Ooh.
So I highly recommend... especially for dads, watch the video or read the book, and then, you know, when that baby comes, you can be the superhero who can come in and put that baby to sleep, and it really does help.
Swaddling. I remember bringing Will home tightly swaddled in that, and then the first time we had to change his diaper, we couldn't figure out how to re-swaddle him, and it was...
I know, those nurses are good.
That first night, we were up till, and he would cry, because it would be too loose, and his arm would get out, and they'd wake him up, and by the time we finally figured it out, the next night, he wanted his arm out. I mean, like, it was a moment. It was a moment to share, let me tell you.
And I would say on the exact opposite of that, be really careful... because, you know, with Ben's situation, the swaddling didn't help. Nothing helped. And it was to the point where I was going through, like, every website trying to find something, to the point where I almost bought the $3,000 thing you can hook up to
the
a
machine?
Crib
oh.
that makes it
noise
that makes it vibrate like you're riding in a car,
hoping
that your
easier
child
than,
will
easier than
sleep.
Riding
I mean,
in a
I was
car.
There. Mm-hmm. I, like, had the credit card out, and I thought, yeah, so.
Did riding in a car work, though?
No, nothing worked. But I was willing to mortgage my house to help this
and
child
did
sleep.
Did you have the problem with Andy as well?
No.
That's so interesting, isn't it?
Well, they're different babies.
Well, and my second, Annie, I thought Will was a good baby. Annie was the best baby. The only time she would cry is if she wanted to go to sleep. So, like, if you kept her up too late, she'd cry. You put her to bed, she'd go right to sleep. Like, she...
You had two good babies?
I had two good babies.
Wow.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I finally did cry it out with Ben, and I know there's great controversy about that, but it worked, and I would recommend it.
Oh, I think with every baby, you eventually have to let him cry
well,
it out.
Well, I know. There's so many new parents who, I just can't. And you do it a couple nights. It's very hard, but
But it's a good lesson for later, too, because, you know, they're going to have to cry it out on a lot of different things, you know. My kids are older now, and they still sometimes have to cry it out because I'm not coming to their rescue every single time.
Speaking of that.
But you did recently, didn't you now, Kathy?
Oh, you women are terrible, making me tell my awful Mother of the Month moment. So, yeah, you know, my 16-year-old son is he's a great kid, and he's a sensitive kid, and he's going through a difficult period in his relationship with his girlfriend right now, and she's a fantastic girl, and I love her, and I hope the best for both of them. But it happened to be St. Patrick's Day, and I haven't been out on St. Patrick's Day, I can't even tell you, since college, probably. And so I went out with a girlfriend, and we were having a good time, and I get a text from my son, "Mom, come home immediately. I need to talk to you." And I texted back, you know, "What's up?" And, you know, he explained that he was going through something, and he just really wanted my advice to come home, you know, right away. So what did I do? I ordered one more drink.
You were just preparing yourself for the conversation.
And then I decided to go home. But I did go home. But I didn't rush out of that bar and run home to my son. But I did, because I knew he would be there one way or the other. And we had, I have to say, a great conversation. Mm-hmm. We shared a lot of our feelings and things. And, it worked out okay.
That drink probably helped you.
You think?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I do. Because, yeah, the conversation, like you said, it was a good conversation. Maybe you were a little more relaxed and able to handle what he was about to dish
out. Yeah, but I will say, I think that I have hopefully established a relationship with both of my kids that, you know, they do want to talk to me and seek my advice on things. And I would encourage parents out there to talk to your kids. And you know, I'm a former reporter. I call myself a recovering reporter. So I ask a lot of questions. But I think that's how you get your kids to talk.
Yeah.
You just ask them a lot of questions.
You're right. For your son to want to talk to you that moment about what he was going through with his girl, that's big, Kathy.
That's huge.
Now, I will say that I talked to his father today, and he also talked to his father that night. And his father told me that he saw on Twitter later on that my son had tweeted, "I just talked to my dad, had the best conversation ever. I love you, man." And I'm thinking to myself,
no.
I guess he didn't tweet that about me then, huh? So
wow.
His dad felt really good, which is great.
Cool.
Which is great. I felt a little left out, but he didn't need to tweet that about me, is what I'm thinking.
Maybe you should have had a drink and a shot before you went home.
Maybe I should have went straight home.
He doesn't know you got another drink.
He does now.
Yeah, right? And he's at home going, "Mom, why do you keep talking about me on your radio show?"
Yes, I know. Yes, these are the problems my children will have to face.
That's okay, though. I would be happy, and even though he didn't tweet about you. I mean, that's cool that he
is that our validation
you.
Now, social media?
I know.
When our kids post about us on social media.
Well, usually he's blocking me or, you know, that kind of stuff. He did tell me he did unblock me from Instagram, so that's good. I can see his Instagram photos now.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation for another day.
Well, we're thanking you for listening to Because I Said So. And I know that, the topic that we talked about today, postpartum depression, is a little heavy, but, you know, it's real. And there are a lot of moms who go through it. And even dads out there listening, you need to maybe realize the symptoms of it and help support the mother of your child, your wife and partner to get through it. So we appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next time. You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.